Hey, Happy New Year. If you got your Bible, go ahead and open up to Colossians chapter 1. And as you're turning, I just want to make a little clarification or emphasis. Pastor Lewis just said that through our giving, we gave a check to Dr. Paul Chitwood for the International Missions Board this morning of $250, but he left off some zeros. It was $250,000 that as a church family, we're able to send out those missionaries. So, hey, way to go. Way to go, church. A significant investment in the kingdom of God. And I'm thankful, and I know you are too, to be a church that is thinking about others, right? That is outward focused, so the gospel is expanding and moving around the world, not just in our community, but around the world as well. If you look in Colossians 1, we're going to start in verse 3 today. And here's what I want you to pay special attention to today. I want you to notice the reputation that the believers we're going to read about have. Right, I want you to notice their life and what is specifically said about them, and then we'll sort of wrestle with that a little bit to determine, is that said about us as well? Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 3, Paul writes, and he's writing to them, and listen to what he says. He says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we've heard of your faith in Christ and the love that you have for the saints, because of the hope that's laid up for you in heaven. Of this you've heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it's bearing fruit. It's increasing, as it does among you, since the day that you heard it and understood the grace of God and truth." I love this small collection of verses at the beginning of this letter. This is a customary thing that Paul does. He writes a letter and he's got a purpose and point in the letter, but there's always the relational component up front. And what we read up front in this is a big deal. We're given a picture of their lives here. We're given a snapshot of who they are, of what they do, the way they intentionally live their lives. Essentially, in these four verses, we've got the reputation of this group of believers. And starting in verse 4, in their reputation, we see four key anchors to their lives, four key anchors to who they are and why they do what they do and their priorities and their motivations, their drivers, all of that anchors starting in verse 4. And if you take notes, I want to encourage you, jot down these four anchors, and then we're going to wrestle with them this morning together. The first anchor we see is they have a sincere faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 4, it says, "We've heard of your faith in Christ." These people, they sincerely believe in Jesus. They've got a real, sincere, vibrant, growing relationship with him. This is not a proximity thing. It's not because their parents are believers, so they're sort of around it. It's not because their friends are believers, so they'll sort of entertain it too. It's not because they go to a building and gather with a bunch of people on a weekly basis. That's not them. Right? It's because they sincerely and truly and really believe in Jesus. And we know, if we believe in Jesus, that a sincere faith in Jesus produces a sincere love for Jesus. That is an anchor of their life. We see it in their reputation. Anchor number 2 is this. We see an active love for people. Look at the end of verse 4. What do we see? They have a love for all of the saints. Love is their reputation. Is it yours? When people think about you or talk about you or write about you, they say, man, they just love people well. They're loving to be around. They're encouraging into the lives of others. That's what we see here, right? That they love other people well. And I promise you that reputation is earned by actively treating people with love. And so you pair verse 4 together, anchor 1 and anchor 2, and what do we see about these people? We see, well, they've got a sincere faith in Jesus that produces a sincere love for Jesus and a sincere love for people. These people, they love God and they love people. That's a really, really solid life right there. But we go on, right? The third anchor that we see, they have a focused hope in heaven. Look at verse 5. It says, because of the hope that's laid up for them in heaven, right? Of this that they've heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel. This group of believers, they're not distracted by the superficial. They're not distracted by the temporary, the earthly, the worldly things. That they don't let those things around them take their eye off the ball. Their focus, their hope is in heaven. Their focus, their hope is on the eternal, not the things of the world, not even the good things of the world, not even the blessings of the world. Their hope, their focus, their aim is on the source of those blessings. And the fourth anchor for their lives is this. I love this. They have a reputation for a fruitful faith. Look at verse 6. they have a fruitful faith. It says the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed the whole world, it's bearing fruit and it's increasing, bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it, since the day you believed the gospel. It's been bearing fruit and increasing, right? Their faith is bearing fruit, and that matters. It should be true of all of us. We have a garden in our backyard, right? Does anybody else garden? Anybody else have a garden in their yard? A few of us in here do. I've got a picture of mine I want to show you this morning. I want you to compare it to yours and just sort of let me know whose garden is looking better right now. What? No good? It's in our backyard right now. It's in the corner. It's up against the fence. And you might not know, looking at it, that was once a producing garden, not too long ago. We got some strawberries out of there, a couple of tomatoes. They didn't get very big, but they were there. A couple of green beans, not really a full meal, but we ate fruit out of there, right? It was awesome. Not anymore. Not bearing fruit. It's not fulfilling its purpose. It's not doing what I built it to do. I don't know that I'd call it a garden anymore. It's a box of dirt and weeds. Gardens are supposed to bear fruit. In the same way, believers, if you're a follower of Jesus, your purpose is to bear fruit. Right? The gospel's planted in our heart to grow. The gospel's planted in our heart to bear fruit, to increase. Right? That's what we see in Colossians chapter 1. In the lives of these believers, that's who they are. That's the reputation that they have. And as believers, that should be all of us. And if you're wondering why, it's because Jesus said that's how we're to live our lives, right? I'm going to look at some of the words of Jesus, and I just want you to see how they line up with the anchors of the life, of the reputation, of the lifestyle of the believers we read about from the small city of Colossae in Colossians chapter 1. Listen to what Jesus said, Matthew 22. He said, the first and foremost thing in your life will be a sincere love for God, and the second thing in your life is a deep love for people. That's what he said, Matthew 22, right? The first and greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he said, the second commandment is like it, you'll love your neighbor as yourself. That's what Jesus has called us to do, first and foremost. That's what these believers are doing. We see in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, right? That's where our hope is. We heard about that last week as we gathered together on Sunday morning. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. Where did we read the hope of the people in Colossae was? I mean, their hope was in heaven, right? So they're loving God, they're loving people, their hope is in heaven, just like Jesus said. And then think about what Jesus said in John chapter 15. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches, remain in me, and what are you going to do? You're going to bear fruit, right? As you remain deeply, closely, connected, intimately in a relationship with me, you will bear fruit. He goes on to say, in that same passage, apart from me, you can do nothing. Or apart from me, you're not going to bear fruit. Apart from me, you're going to look like Stephen's garden, right? And then he said in Matthew 28, his last words to the disciples before he ascends to heaven is what? Go and do what? Go and make disciples. Teach them to obey everything that he's commanded. So make disciples. Teach them the words of Jesus to new people that don't know Jesus yet, right? We're sending out those missionaries. Lewis mentioned it earlier. They're going to go around the world, right? We're equipping them. We are sending them financially to go around the world to do that. It's our job to do that here. That's what's happening in Colossians 1, right? The gospel's bearing fruit in their lives, and the gospel is increasing. That's just who they are. And that's it, right? That's the Christian life, right? Everything that we could ever possibly need, everything that we could ever possibly want or need to do, it is all wrapped up in there, right? Everything else that we read in Scripture, man, it flows from these anchors of the Christian life, from the reputation that we see of the Christians in Colossians chapter 1. The question is, what about us? As I make resolutions for the year, as I make resolutions for my life, I want to resolve to be that. I want to resolve to live that way. I want my family, I want my kids to live that way in alignment with the word of Jesus. I want our church family, our reputation, I want us to be known as a people that live that way, to live out the words of Jesus in our lives. I don't want to look back on the year with regret. I don't want to think, I wish I should have done that, or I could have done this, or I wanted to grow here, but I didn't grow here, or I missed this opportunity, or I missed that opportunity. That's not what I want to do. That's not who I want to be. I want to grow this year. And I'll tell you that on top of that, I don't want to look back at the end of my life with regret, thinking, man, I should have done this, or could have done that, or God called me to live a certain way, and I just didn't do it. Jonathan Edwards, a famous pastor in the United States, 1700s. He played a major role in shaping the first spiritual great awakening here in the U.S. His words, his sermons, his writings have been used by God in a profound way throughout the course of history. And he wrote a list of resolutions, like many of us did beginning of the year. His list was longer than your list, I can guarantee you that. He wrote this list, dozens and dozens and dozens of them. He wrote it as a teenager. This was not an older man, this was a teenager. He wrote this list, and he revisited the list every single week, looked at it, prayed over it, refreshed his heart, refreshed his mind to ensure that he was focused to live the way that God was calling him to live. Listen to one of his resolutions. He said, I will live so as I shall wish I had done when I come to die. His goal, when he was about to meet Jesus, was to look back on his life and know, man, I lived the life God called me to live. I lived the life that God laid out for me to live. Listen, he wasn't perfect, and neither are we, but his focus was right. He was living to know Jesus. He was living to grow closer to Jesus. He was living to experience the grace and the love that come from being in an intimate and real relationship with Jesus. Listen, I know people like that in my life today. You know people like that in your life today as well. And here's the thing. We want to be around those people. Right? We want to be in their presence. There's joy there. There's excitement there. There's life there. There's peace there. There's grace there. And if we're really honest when we're around those people, we think, I want to be like those people. And I want my heart to feel like that. I want my mind to be in tune with the Word of God like that. And sometimes we think, well, but that's for them. It's not for me. Or I could never get there. I could never do that. Or I could never look like this. And then we just sort of move on. I'll tell you, I had a life-changing conversation when I was 18 years old. I was on the beach in Florida. I was at a camp. And the speaker of the camp that week was a guy named Greg Mott. He's the pastor now of Houston's First Baptist Church, and he was kind enough to spend time with me. He pulled me aside, and we talked for a minute, and he said this quote, this line. I've shared it with a lot of students over the year, and it has always just stuck in my head. He said, Stephen, you're going to be the same person 10 years from now that you are today unless something changes. And he was talking about spiritually, right? You're going to be in the same place spiritually that you are right now. It's true of all of us as we start 2023. Same place the end of this year, same place in 10 years. Unless something changes in our life, unless we do different things in our life. And for me, that's when it clicked, right? It was a pivotal moment, right? That one conversation helped me understand, okay, those Christians in Colossians chapter 1, they had that reputation for a reason. They lived that life for a reason. People in my life that I looked at, that I admired their walk with Christ, I mean, that they had that walk with Christ for a reason. All of them, they shared daily habits. They shared daily focuses. They made intentional lifestyle decisions for how they were going to live each and every day. And it might have looked a little bit different for each one of them. I totally understand that, but they all had the same underlying principles. And you and I call that spiritual disciplines. Right? They were disciplined spiritually. And if you've never heard the phrase spiritual disciplines before, let me just say that they're spiritual habits. Some of you resolved, more than likely, at the beginning of this year to grow in some of those areas, some of those spiritual habits. And if that's the case, I encourage that, right? I applaud that. Fan the flame of that. All of us, no matter where we're at in our walk, we should be doing things to grow in those spiritual disciplines. Why? Not so that we could manage a checklist. Not so that we can feel good about checking a box each day or doing specific things each day. If that's the motivation, it's wrong and it's not going to last. Our aim in these spiritual disciplines, those habits should be to grow in our relationship with Jesus. It should be to know him more, to experience him more, to be intimate with him more, to be refreshed by him more, so that we can experience the joy that comes only through walking with our Savior. So embrace that this year, so that daily you can be filled. Daily you can be refreshed and loved and encouraged by the presence of God in your life. That's the reality of the believers we read about in Colossians 1. That is what made them the way that they were. It was the ongoing, active, growing relationship that they had with Jesus, and that's God's desire for our life as well. And so I'm assuming at this point you're thinking, okay, that's what God's called me to, that's what is available to me, that is an opportunity that I've got. So what are some of these spiritual disciplines that will get me there? And I'm really, really glad that you asked, because I'd like to share with you some of them now and encourage you to write them down, to lean into them, and then to begin prayerfully considering, is this what God has for me? Is this the lifestyle that God is calling me to as well? And if you're wondering that, I will answer the question in advance and say, yes, it is the lifestyle that God is calling each and every one of us into together. But before we get to those, let me read a few verses just to remind you and refresh your heart and your mind about what it looks like to be in the daily presence of the Lord. Lamentations 3, verse 22 says this, "The steadfast love of the Lord, it never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I'm going to go to him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him." What we have in God's word, the description here, there's this ongoing relationship constantly as we grow closer to the Father. Philippians 3, Paul, the same one that wrote Colossians, wrote Philippians. He says this, "I count everything else as loss compared to the worth of knowing Christ as Lord." That is the goal in this, right? It's not to accomplish lists. It's not to check off to-dos. The goal is knowing Jesus. The goal is growing in an intimate, real, vibrant, personal relationship with him. It's there, right? Hosea chapter 6, verse 3 says, "Let us know. Let us press on. This is an active thing for us. Press on to know the Lord. Press on. Develop the habits. Grow the disciplines in your life to press on to know God. And those spiritual disciplines, they need to be our most basic, our most fundamental habits of life. You might think it feels weird to call spiritual disciplines habits, but habits are real. Habits are a part of our lives. It's the way that our brains are wired. We gravitate towards things that we do over and over and over again. It just makes it a pattern and a part of us. Listen, it's a real thing and it matters. Listen, the habits of your life form your character. And the habits of your life reveal your character. Michael Horton says, "Character is largely a bundle of habits." And it's true. If you keep a close eye on someone's habits, you will see what captures their heart. And if someone keeps a close eye on your habits, they're going to see what captures your heart. It's those daily disciplines, those daily habits. They show your heart. It's those daily habits that shape your heart, that draw you close to Jesus. And so knowing that, as a group of people in this room who know, as we've read the Word of God, as we've experienced a relationship with God, listen, knowing that, we should desperately desire to have Him reflected in all over those daily disciplines and habits of life. Not just in words, not just saying, "I should do this," or "I want to do that," or "I'm going to be involved in this," but we will actually put forth the energy and the effort to cultivate, to grow those disciplines in our life so that we draw close to the heart of Jesus. The beginning of the year, it's a great time to resolve, the habits of my life are going to draw me close. The habits of my life are going to draw me close. But not just the beginning of the year, all year long, we should be thinking, is the pattern of my life in alignment with the Word of God so that I can draw near to the heart of God and ultimately experience the love of God? Is the pattern of my life in alignment with the Word of God so that I can draw near to the heart of God and ultimately experience the love of God? These spiritual disciplines matter. They shape us. They shape our hearts. They shape our lives. Consider these disciplines as we step into a new year. Number one, ensure you have a relationship with God. And I get it, that's not a discipline, but that's the foundation of all of them. Because again, remember, this is not a checklist thing. This is a relationship thing. Everything that we do, all of these habits that we're talking about, these disciplines that we want to grow and form in our life are to grow us deeper and closer in that relationship with Jesus, right? It's all about growing in relationship with him. Do you guys know Yordan Alvarez?
Yes.
Not like know of him. Like, do you actually know him? You friends with him? Me neither, right? I'm not either. And so here's the thing I can promise you. I'm not going to grow in my relationship with him this year. Not getting closer together, like we're not going to lunch more, like we're just not. Because we don't have a relationship in the first place. You can't grow a relationship that you don't have. So we kick off this year, make sure that you're in a relationship with Christ, not just your parents, not just your spouse, not just a friend or somebody that brings you here or encourages you to come here on a regular basis. Make sure you know Jesus as Lord and Savior. John 1, Jesus says, if you believe in his name, you have the right to become a child of God. Romans 10 says, if you confess that he's Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You're ushered into a relationship with God. Listen, it's the position of your heart. When through faith you believe that God is, Jesus is who he says he is, that moment you have a relationship with him, right? You're a child of God. Discipline number one now, we've got the foundation laid. Listen to the voice of God. And that simply means read the Bible. If you just want to write that down. Read the Bible. Listen to the voice of God. Listening to the wrong voice is going to take you in the wrong direction. There's times we go on trips, and I put the destination in Waze or Google Maps or Apple Maps. Sometimes I put it in all three of those, and I find the fastest route, and I click on that, and we just sort of go. But there's still moments of confusion along the way, right? There's moments where there's an accident, or there's moments where there's a lot of traffic, or where there's construction, or there's moments where I'm looking for a specific restaurant, and the passenger that sits in the front seat of the car next to me on those trips, sometimes they have a voice that differs from the voice of the navigation that's on the screen there. I'm not going to tell you who that person is or who's right, but I'm just going to say the voice is different. And that's enough. And if I listen to the wrong voice, to the wrong directions, I'm going to end up at the wrong place. Sometimes it's no big deal. Sometimes it's painful, and there's consequences to it. That's life. Right? When we listen to the wrong voice in life, and we don't get where God's called us to go, we don't live in a God-honoring way, we don't grow in our relationship with him. A lot of voices out there, a lot of loud voices out there, and oftentimes very ungodly voices out there. We're called to listen to the voice of God. And that happens as we read our Bible. What does Proverbs 3 say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and what will he do? And he's going to make your path straight. It doesn't matter what study you look at on spiritual growth, all of them come to the same conclusion. There is no substitute for spiritual growth when it comes to reading the Bible in your life. Or if you want to grow spiritually, if you want to know the heart of God, see the heart of God, understand the heart of God, draw close and intimate in your relationship with God, I'm telling you, it is through daily reading of the Word of God. We're going to open the Bible every time we come in here. We're going to read the Bible every time we come in here. We're going to dive into the Word of God in our kids' ministry, in our student ministry, in our adult life group classes. We're going to be in the Word of God. Right? But this is a discipline, a spiritual habit that all of us need to develop that carries over into our lives every day. As well, a routine part of our lives. We have a Bible reading plan as a church we're starting today. You can text Bible to 77069. You'll get a text message back on how to do that. Bible to 77069. You can scan the QR code, or you can go to our welcome desk after and say, hey, give me that Bible reading plan, and we'll help get you signed up for that. Get in the Word of God on a regular basis. A few years ago, somebody called me end of the year and said, I read through the entire Bible this year. I celebrated with him, and I said, why? And he said, well, there was a sermon in January, beginning of the year, and you said to do it, and I did. And I grew this year more spiritually than I ever have before. I asked him about his Bible reading habits before that year. He said they weren't there. But he resolved. He knew it was right. He knew it was good for him. He knew it would draw him close to the heart of God, and he was disciplined to create that habit in his life, to grow through the daily reading of the Word of God. So I want to encourage you. if it's not currently your habit, if it's not currently your discipline, begin reading the Word of God on a regular basis. Don't think about day 365. Think about day one. After you finish day one, wake up the next day and think about day two. Daily, daily experience the heart of God through the reading of His Word. Number three, spiritual discipline. Pray, right? Pray. Am I shocking anybody with some of these disciplines this morning? Pretty predictable, right? Continue the conversation with God. You've got to spend time in prayer. In first grade, my best friend, a guy named Zach, and we hung out together all the time. He was at my house. I was at his house. We rode our bikes to school. All that kind of stuff. It was a blast. But then that summer after first grade, he moved away. And he moved somewhere else in Houston. I went to visit him one time as a kid, and I'll never forget his house. It was a three-story house. That was really cool. But then after that, we didn't hang out anymore. And I have not talked to him since that one day after first grade when I went to his house. And it might surprise you this morning to learn this. Zach and I are not close anymore. Got no idea where he's at. Got no idea what he's doing. Don't know his last name. I don't know anything about him. Why? I'm not talking to him. If you're going to grow in your relationship with Christ, yeah, you have to develop that habit, that spiritual discipline, that daily practice of going to the Lord in prayer, spending time talking to our Heavenly Father. We're invited into this relationship with Him. He's given us access to Him. I mean, we don't need anybody else. Well, we can go straight to the Father in prayer. And it's a habit that we as believers, I mean, it was modeled by Jesus for us. He withdrew. I promise you, His schedule was busier than your schedule. The demands on His life were greater than the demands on your life. And He withdrew. He separated. He pressed pause to spend time in prayer. He did. It's the model we have of believers in the New Testament church, all through the book of Acts. All of the letters that Paul writes to these New Testament churches, right? All of them highlight and emphasize a lifestyle of prayer. It's going to mean pressing pause to get alone and pray. We're going to kick off starting today, going for 1 week. We did this last January as well, a week of prayer and fasting. We want this to be an emphasis for our church family this week, prayer and fasting. And if you're unfamiliar with the term, when we say fast, we simply mean just withdraw or withhold a certain thing in your life and instead use that energy for prayer. Illustration, right? Fast from lunch this week, and instead of taking time to eat lunch, fix lunch, prepare lunch, use that time in prayer. Some may fast from watching TV in the evenings, and instead use that time in prayer. It's going to look different for all of us, but the focus here is to pray and develop that daily discipline of being before the Lord in prayer. Next spiritual discipline, surround yourself with the people of God. Or you could simply say, go to church. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Andy Stanley famously said, show me your friends. Anybody know how it ends? Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. The picture that we have of believers in the Bible is together, right? Connected to other believers. We're going to continue to gather together like this. And hopefully we're encouraged by our time of worship, by our time in the Word, through our time of giving. Hopefully this is an encouraging and uplifting and helpful, fruitful thing in our walk with Christ. But we've got to take a step into the smaller room too, right? Get in a life group. Get in a community of smaller believers that are going to help you in your walk with Christ, that will sharpen you. Listen, there's a million reasons not to. You're too busy. You've got too much going on. What are we going to do with the kids if we're here for a second hour? We don't know a group to plug into. I'm telling you, there's a lot of reasons that you could probably come up with right now to say, you know what, this is enough. I'm not taking that next step to go deeper with other believers. I'm just telling you, the picture that we have in Scripture of believers over and over and over again, it's relational, it's together, it's in those groups where we can sharpen one another. So make it a priority for your family, make it a priority for your kids, and for yourself. Get in those groups. Go deeper with one another. Number six, spiritual discipline. Continue the mission of God. Or we could say it this way, share the gospel with other people. Right? We don't go to heaven the moment we trust Christ. He leaves us here for a very specific reason. Right? It's to tell other people about Him. One Sunday morning years ago, I got a phone call. I was at church. We were getting things ready. And I got a call that a dear friend of mine, a mentor of mine for many, many years, had passed away in his sleep overnight. His name was Jimmy LeBeau. Many of you maybe know him or know his wife or remember him. Monumental influence in my life. And so I went over to his house that morning, and I sat with his wife, and we prayed, and we talked, and we encouraged one another. As I was sitting there in their living room, as things began to unfold throughout the day, I looked over on the table, and his Bible was there. And so I picked it up and began to flip through it, and it was obvious that Jimmy LeBeau, Mr. LeBeau, was in the Word of God on a regular basis, right? That man, God used him in a powerful way. And I flipped to the back cover, and I saw all of these things written down there. And as they were written down there, we actually made copies of that. We passed it out at his funeral service, but at the very top middle of the page, he had in big letters written this: God has given me a to-do list, and I haven't finished it yet. He knew. As long as I'm here, God's got something for me to do. It's not watch Netflix. It's not play around on social media. All right, God's given me something to do. That's to help the gospel increase. That's to allow the gospel to bear fruit in my life and in the lives of other people as well. And he constantly did what he could to help other people grow in their faith. Think back to 2022. Who did you help grow in their faith over the course of 2022? And who are you going to help grow in their faith over the course of 2023? Now, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches, remain in me, and we're going to bear some fruit. Jesus said, make disciples, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. Those Colossian Christians, man, and Colossians chapter 1, verse 6, what's happening? The gospel's bearing fruit. The gospel's increasing in them, through them, and among them. That's a discipline in our life. That's cultivated. That doesn't happen by accident. It's a discipline that we form, a discipline that we develop, a discipline that we create as we seek to live the life that God has called us to live. The gospel must bear fruit in our lives. And all of these disciplines, they're a process, right? We start with them. We wrestle with them. We grow with them. We will never be perfect in them. Let yourself off the hook on that right now. But this is a process that we're going to grow in. And as we grow in this process, as we grow in these spiritual disciplines, as we cultivate them in our lives, we're going to see, right, the gospel bearing fruit. We're going to see this increase where we're growing in other areas of our lives as well. And what was true of those believers in Colossians 1 will be true of us as well. So let this be a year where you lean in, as Hosea 6:3 says, where you press on to know the Lord, where you develop and grow those in your life. And if this is a strong area for you, and for many of you, I know it is, if this is a strong area for you right now, help other people make this a strong area in their life as well. We're called to do that. We're called to come alongside one another and stir, Hebrews 10, and stir one another up to those good works. Stir one another up to that love that we have for Christ. Come alongside and help people as well. And let me share one more habit that can be wrapped up in every single one of them, and it's simply this: be grateful for the goodness of God, right? Colossians chapter 2, Paul continues to write to that same group of people, and he says, abound in thanksgiving. And one of the ways that we express our thanksgiving, our thankfulness for the goodness of God as a church family, is through the sharing of the Lord's Supper. And so we're going to share in that now this morning with hearts of thanksgiving and gratitude for all that Jesus has done for us. 1 Corinthians 11:27 says this, as we prepare our hearts for the sharing of the Lord's Supper together, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Therefore, examine himself and then eat the bread. Then drink the cup. For anyone that eats or drinks without discerning the body drinks judgment on himself. I want to ask our deacons to come forward now, and they're going to prepare to serve us the Lord's Supper. And as they're making your way forward, know that the next, I'm going to pray, and our worship team is going to sing a worship song over us, and that's going to give us a moment to push pause and to go before the Lord in prayer. Right, to already begin cultivating that discipline, that habit, where we just go before God and say, God, search my heart. And if there's anything in our heart and lives right now that's out of alignment with how he's called us to live and the relationship that he has invited us into, I want to encourage you to use these next few minutes to just confess that before the Lord and to get your heart right with him this morning as we share the Lord's Supper with hearts of thanksgiving for what he did on the cross for each and every one of us. Would you pray with me now? Father, we're grateful for your love. We're grateful for your goodness. We're grateful for the cross. And God, as we share in the Lord's Supper this morning, Father, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would draw us close, that this would be a moment where we resolve together that this year we're going to grow more than we ever have before in our love relationship with you, Lord. God, we love you and we're thankful. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.